Hey everyone, my name is Zach, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Nice to be with you tonight. If you have a Bible, let's open those together to the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. If I don't know you, it's just an honor to be with you here tonight. My name is Josh Combs, and just happy to be able to spend the evening opening God's Word with you and sharing for a few minutes here tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 11, kind of as a runway to where we're going, and want to get to verse 15, but don't want to just take verse 15 just out of context. Want to kind of lead you there and see where God's Word is going. If you don't have a Bible, I think we have free Bibles, right? We have giveaway Bibles. They have $100 bills in them, I'm told. That could be false information. You know, it's funny, they don't have money in them, just so you know. One time I was in college, and I went to a Christian college and walked into chapel, and I would love to tell you that every time I walked into chapel, I was like, yes, it's chapel, we're going to sing to Jesus, we're going to hear a message, but chapel was required, so there was not a lot of, yay, I get to go to chapel. But this one day, I walked into chapel, and a guy was standing at the door, and he was holding out gospel tracts. And he's like, would you like one of these? I'm like, no, I'm good. I know the Lord already. And so I went and sat down, and one of my buddies goes, hey, did you get a gospel tract from that guy? I go, no, I didn't get one. He goes, there's $20 bills in every single one of them. I said, I'll be right back. And I went back up. I said, hey, man, can I get one of those? Oh, yeah, yeah. The speaker that day was a billionaire. And he gave away like $10,000 or $15,000 that day. I'm going to tell you this. He wasn't a very good speaker, but we all paid attention very much that day. So I'll never forget that the rest of my life. Anyways, Ephesians chapter 4, let's go there. We're going to pick up in verse number 11. The Bible says, and he gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So God gave these parts, positions inside of the church with the goal of equipping the saints, Christians, God's people, for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. To do that job, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the job of the leaders of the church, pastors, teachers, shepherds, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, to do that until we all attain the unity of faith. So I would say we've not all achieved that or attained that, so there's still work to be done. And the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood or adulthood, till we've all reached spiritual maturity to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we become like Jesus. Well, I know myself, so I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself and say we're not there yet, because I am not to the fullness, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there's still work to be done. That's the point of the passage. Verse 14, so here's the purpose. So the mission is, or the team that's going to accomplish that are these leaders. They're to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, and they're to do that until the goal is achieved. And the reason the goal is important, verse 14, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Doctrine meaning teaching. Paul says, I've given these pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets, I've given these so that they can train, disciple the church, preach the word of God until the whole church grows together in unity and looks like Jesus, And the hope of that is so that we're no longer tossed about like children. We're no longer immature. We're no longer carried away by false teaching or human cunning, so a trap or a deception by the craftiness in deceitful schemes. Now, every single one of us here have been trapped, deceived, led away by something we thought was going to bring us joy, bring us peace, bring us happiness, bring us meaning, bring us contentment, and it brought us pain and hurt and suffering and loss and loneliness. We've all been there. We all understand that. Verse 14 again, so that we may no longer be children. When I was a kid, whenever I read this passage, I think about when I was a kid, I grew up, I lived for a few years right down the road from Don Roy on this little dirt road. And I was just a little kid when we lived there at this little parsonage. And I remember somebody from the neighborhood coming down and saying, Josh, you have to go down to the woods there. They just found a king cobra snake. Now, I think I was probably 4 or 5 years old. I ran in the house. I said, Mom, you have to let me leave the yard and go down to the woods. There's a king cobra snake. I was so convinced in my mind that there was something down there I had to go see, and my mom wouldn't let me. I remember being so upset at my mom for keeping me from that joy of going down to the woods because there was a king cobra snake. Now, you and I both know there was not a king cobra snake down the road. Secondly, if there was a king cobra snake down the road, I'm not going down the road, right? But I was tossed to and fro. I was a child. I was not discerning. I did not have the wisdom to understand that what was being said was not true. So what's the solution to that? Verse 15 is where I want to get you. The Bible says, rather. So instead of craftiness in deceitful schemes, human cunning, false doctrine that just pulls someone over there and pulls someone over here. This is true. No, this is true. Oh, this is true. I find, like this all wandering all over the place, easily deceived. Rather, the Bible says, speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So we're to grow up. We're to mature. Well, what is a major component to, or a major part of growing up? It is truth and it's love. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What's Jesus saying there? Jesus, come from heaven, the Son of God, fully man, fully God, he revealed the reality of life. That's what truth is. Truth is reality. So when I get up in the morning, I get on the scale. The scale does not take into account my feelings, right? It does not take into account I didn't sleep well and I need a real encouragement, so we're going to lower that number in the morning. What does this scale do? This scale reveals fact, truth. The Bible says, instead of deception, schemes, cunning, lies, we need truth. We need to know reality. Reality about ourselves, reality about the world. Jesus comes into the world, and what do we see him doing? We see him revealing truth. So many times to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, he would reveal truth. Truth about heaven, truth about hell, truth about judgment, truth about the reality of their heart. It had to be very frustrating to them because they had deceived themselves. And if they hadn't deceived themselves, they had deceived other people to the point where they were viewed as holy, perfect, righteous, definitely on their way to heaven. And when Jesus would do something, they would kind of murmur in their heart. And Jesus was like, why are you thinking that in your heart? I got to imagine they were like, I didn't even say anything. It's like when your mom growing up knew what you were thinking. You're like, I didn't even say anything. She just saw my eyebrow twitch a little bit, or she saw something on my face that like spilled the beans. Jesus knew what was in their heart, and so what did he illuminate for them? What did he reveal? He revealed the truth about the world, the truth about eternity, the truth about themselves. Paul says here in Ephesians 4, instead of these things, I need you to grow up. And part of growing up is truth, is fact, is reality. One of the fascinating things about addiction is that a person's brain development pauses when they start to use. I remember learning this fact years ago, and it was like, man, that's very frustrating. I'm not here to insult you. I'm not here to be mean to you. But I think every one of us who've dealt with anyone who's struggling with addiction, maybe that's you or a family member or a friend or someone in rehab or someone in your life, you're like, man, this is like dealing with a 13-year-old. And much of it is because their brain has just stopped developing. They haven't grown up. Physically, their body has. But often when I encounter men, they look like a man on the outside, and you begin talking to him, you're like, oh, this person reasons like a child, like a middle schooler. What's the Bible say? It says it's time to grow up. It's time to mature. What's the first step to growing up? Truth. It's truth. When I look in the mirror tells me I'm older this year than I was last year. Right? The mirror tells me that my hairline is definitely changing. That these wrinkles and these bags under my eyes seem to be permanent. I'm getting the truth. Tonight, some of you really need to hear the truth. And you may just need to face it for the first time. It may be really hard. It may be difficult to hear. It may take your breath away. But tonight just may be the night that you just need to stop running from reality. Amen. Running from truth. So instead of schemes and false teaching and this and that, we just need a real honest dose, verse 15 says, of the truth. But the Bible doesn't just say truth. It says we are to speak the truth and to do it in love. Now, the Bible talks about love all throughout the scripture. Great definition of love, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. So that's love. It's patience. It is gentle. It's not irritable. It's not resentful. When I think about love not being irritable, that's the one that convicts me. It's not arrogant. Love does not insist everything has to go its own way. Like, it has to be my way. That's not love. The Bible talks about it being patient, sacrificial. The Bible talks about love hoping all things. I mean, when you say I love you or you love someone, you believe the best about them. When you hear something bad, your first inclination isn't, oh, that's for sure true about them. It's, whoa, that might be true, but I love that person. I believe the best about them. To grow up into Christ, to grow up into maturity, spiritual maturity, we need the truth and love. Truth and love. Can I tell you maybe the most important word in the middle of those is and. We need both. Typically, people land on one side naturally or the other. I'm more of a truth person. You may have picked that up by now. I'm not a very tender, gentle, soft person. It's just not my natural personality. I'm more of a, I need someone to be blunt with me because I don't get subtlety. It took my wife 20 years of our marriage to realize I didn't get subtlety because I just don't. You have to hit me with a 2x4 upside the head, then I go, oh, okay, thank you. Thank you for letting me know that. So that's just where I lean. I lean more towards the truth side. I just want it to be blunt. Then there are other people that lean more on the loving side. Like, oh, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I love them. These are the people that are like, you know, I'll just get over it. It's no big deal. I just love them, and I just care for them, and I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to discourage them. That's the loving people. And the truth people are like, just lay it on them. Just say it to their face. And what does the Bible say? If you have one without the other, that's not going to help people get to maturity. You need both. And we see in John chapter 1 that Jesus, in John chapter 1 verse 14, it says that Jesus was full of grace and truth. So Jesus was full of love and full of truth. Both were present in the way Jesus was saying things. If you and I want to grow to maturity, we need both truth in our life and love in our life. We need someone to speak truth in our lives. So I'd say this very practically. You need to have these people in your life. Now, they're hard to have. It's difficult. I remember years ago, I had a guy follow me up from the gym where I had acted like an idiot. I was probably in my 20s at that time. And he followed me up, and we stood in that stairwell over there, and he was dropping truth bombs on my life. And I was arguing with him every step of the way. You know why? Because I didn't want to hear it. I wanted someone to tell me the truth. And often when we don't want to hear the truth, what we say to someone is, you're not being very loving. Right? You ever said that before? Like someone's like, hey man, I'm really concerned about it. Whoa, 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 whoa. Judge not, lest you be judged. Right? We use these little Bible verses to deflect the truth from our lives because we don't want to hear the truth. But someone comes to us speaking the truth in love, and we're like, we don't want any of that. Here's why. Because we don't want to grow up. We don't want to face reality. We don't want to look into the spiritual mirror that the Bible is or get on the scale. We don't want to do that. We want to continue to live in ignorance. We want to continue to be kids. And the Bible says we're to grow up. And the way that we grow up is we have people in our life that are courageous enough, committed enough to us to speak the truth in love. For some of you in this room, you've avoided those people for too long. the church recovery, we like to use the word accountability. I need accountability in my life. I think a lot of times what people mean by accountability is they want an ally, not someone that's going to speak the truth in love to them. Hey, when I ask you to be my accountability person, it means you're always going to take my side, right? That's not accountability. That doesn't help anybody. I mean, I guess I can go home tonight and I can get a little piece of paper and I can write my desired weight on there and I can tape it on my scale. I can get on it every morning and be like, I am rocking this. And I can lie to myself. I think that's the kind of accountability most of us want. We want to show up on Tuesday night. We want to be in a group. We want someone to say, hey, you're doing awesome. It's really hard when someone pulls us aside and says, hey, man, I see the people you're hanging out with. I see how the way you're talking. I see the way you're spending your money. I see the way you're beginning to think, the habits you're starting to form. I see those things. And you're like, I don't want that in my life. We need to have people in our life who are committed and courageous enough to speak the truth in love to us. And sometimes that's hard to hear, but you will never grow up. I will never grow up unless we have people in our life that are willing to speak the truth in love to us. It'll never happen. It's like trying to get clean or get sober on your own. You're never going to do it. You need people that are going to come alongside you and say, hey, man, I love you and I care for you. What the heck are you doing with her? Well, man, you don't like my new girlfriend? Oh, you're just jealous. No, man, I'm really freaked out because the last time you did this, you relapsed and burned your life down for another year. If you're a man and someone can't say that to you, you are a boy in a man's body. Amen. You have to have someone that you trust, that you give that ability to speak into your life and say some hard things. There's an example of this in the Bible that I find like fascinating. Even if you didn't grow up like knowing the Bible or like Sunday school or catechism, you've probably heard of Peter in the Bible and Paul in the Bible. Those names, right? They're Christian names. St. Paul, St. Peter. And here's a story that Paul tells in Galatians chapter 2. He says, when Cephas, which is another name for Peter, came to Antioch, Paul says, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, that's the head pastor in Jerusalem, before he sent people up to Antioch, Peter was eating with the Gentiles, but when those other people came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party, fearing these people from Jerusalem. It says, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas, a partner of Paul's, was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all. Look at that. Like, this was embarrassing in some ways to Peter. Peter was in the wrong, and Paul saw the damage that it was causing, and he saw that it was out of step with the truth of the gospel. I want you to see that. The truth of the gospel. You need to have people in your life. You say, listen, I need you to see me. And if you see me out of step with the gospel, I need you to have the courage to say something to me. And I'm probably not going to like it in that moment because I'm still trying to grow up. I'm still trying to mature. I need you to say it to me. Paul says, it was out of step with the truth of the gospel, so I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Like, you're acting hypocritically, you're expecting this from other people, but you're not doing that yourself. You got to have these people in your life. There's a story in the Old Testament. David sinned against God. His sin was hidden until the prophet Nathan comes to him. The prophet Nathan tells him the story, and the story enrages David. The story is about a very wealthy man. It's a fictional story. But this wealthy man comes, and he has an unexpected guest show up at his house. And he had all these flocks to choose from, but he goes to the poor guy, takes his sheep, slaughters the sheep, and feeds it to his guest. David is furious. He's like, I need to know who that rich man is who went to that poor man and stole his one little sheep that he had. He deserves to die. And Nathan looks him square in the face and says, you are the man. It's you. The story's about you. You went and took another man's wife. Psalm 51 is David's response to that conviction, his true repentance. You got to have truth and love to be able to grow up. And you got to have people in your life that are willing to speak the truth in love to you. But we get defensive. We run from those people. We don't answer their phone calls. Can I tell you, there's people, and you know this, there are many people that need to be in this room tonight for recovery, but will not because they do not want to face the truth. They don't want to face the truth about their addiction. So I want to encourage you, way to go, the courage to be here tonight to say, I got an issue. Or there's a family member who I love has an issue. That takes courage. So way to go. So way to go facing the truth. But we know there are other people in our lives that should be here. But they don't want to face the truth. I see this all the time at church. People show up for a little bit, and then the Bible starts to confront them. It starts to convict them. The truth of Jesus starts to put the squeeze on their heart, and then they just vanish. You run into them somewhere. You're like, hey, you doing okay? You all right? And they're like, oh, yeah, we've been busy for the last 5 years. Oh, okay, 250 plus Sundays. You couldn't make one of those, right? Oh, yeah, super busy. Right? I see this happen. Why? Because there's a truth. There's a reality. We need people in our life that speak the truth, speak it in love. You got to have these people. And if you don't have them, you'll never grow up. You'll never mature. But here's the other thing. As you mature, please hear this part. As you mature, you can be this for somebody else. Amen. Now, I'm going to repeat that because some of you are going to like, oh, yeah, here we go. As you mature. As you mature, you can be this for somebody else. One of the things I've observed too in recovery culture, if I can call it that respectfully, is the person who's been clean for like a week and wants to tell everyone else how to do it. You ever met this guy? You're like, dude, you 7 days, right? I used to think older guys that would look at you and be like, oh, I got t-shirts older than you. I always thought, no, you do not. I have t-shirts older than all of my kids at my house and older than most of my staff. So there's something to be said about those who are a little further down the path and the wisdom they can give to you. So have these people in your life, but aspire and hope to be one of them yourself. Right, that can have someone pulling you. Right, someone that you're looking to, man, being like, I want to be them in 5 years. I want to be that guy in 10 years. whether that's in your recovery or whether that's in your spiritual life, whether it's in your marriage, right? There are couples, there are parents. I look, my wife and I, oh man, we want to be like that, right? We want to model. We want to see what is being modeled to us, but we also want to help other people who are a little behind us in the journey. I can't take them there because I'm not there yet, but I can bring them here. So to mature, you have to have someone who's going to speak the truth in love to you. But also, you need to be one of those people. Now, maybe you're a truth teller, and you need to be reminded that telling the truth is not always loving. You have to tell the truth in a loving way. Those things have to be together. And some of you may be very loving. And it's hard for loving people to say the truth sometimes because it feels really unnatural, uncomfortable. Makes you feel like you're hurting someone's feelings. But you got to commit. This is what it takes to grow up. But before you can grow up into Christ, the question that I think you really, at the core, each of us has to answer is, have we first been born again? Like a new birth. We're not talking try harder. We're not talking more rules. We're talking, have you come to Jesus and been made brand new? Like a new birth. The Bible says that we are all sinners. My sin's no different than your sin. We all stand before God as sinners, rightfully deserving eternal separation from God. That's true of every person in here, every person watching online. But the Bible says the truth that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Jesus comes and he dies on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. Jesus is buried. Jesus rises from the dead. And it is only by coming to Jesus that your sins can be forgiven and you can receive the gift of eternal life. That's that new birth. So the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you, not your parents, not your grandma, not your husband, not your wife, not your friend, not your sponsor. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the gospel, and that's the saving response to the gospel. Some of you tonight just need to say it's time to grow up. Maybe for you, it's going back to some of those people who tried to tell you the truth and you ignored them. You argued with them. You lied to them. And you just need to call them and be like, you were right. You were right. I was using. I was stealing. I was in a bad way. I was ignoring your counsel because I didn't want to face the truth. Thank you for telling me the truth in love. Because that's the only thing that's going to help you grow up into maturity. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. God, I'm sorry for the many people who tried to speak the truth into my life, and I was just too arrogant and ignorant to listen. A lot of pain, my heart, my family, church. Thank you for your patience with me, Lord, your love for me. I pray tonight for each man and woman in here. Lord, that you would just encourage them. I thank you, God, for their courage to be here tonight. But I pray, God, for a commitment to have loving truth tellers in their life. And God, to be that as they grow in maturity for others. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the good news of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
Amen.